Cleaning Nation, welcome to another episode of the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. I want to take a quick moment to thank you, Cleaning Nation. The show exists solely for you and only because of you. We do zero advertising. All the growth, success, fame, fortune, fun we have had is 100% because of you sharing the word with friends, family, all the other people that you think could use it. So I just want to return the love. You guys are great. If you're listening to the podcast, check out our YouTube channel. If you're watching us on YouTube, check out the podcast channel. No matter where you're listening, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. There are all the resources that you need to grow your cleaning company. If you dig the show, you are going to love what we have waiting for you at growmycleaningcompany.com. Today, we are chatting with Joe Pereira from Integrity Maintenance Solutions. Integrity apparently serves this huge swath of land in Northern California from San Francisco Bay. Apparently, they'll get out to Sacramento and Fresno. They do commercial cleaning services. If you want to reach out to Joe and his team, you can hold them at www.integritymsc. I'm assuming that's Integrity Maintenance Solutions Company or Corporation if you want to get fancy. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate being here.
Good. I have no idea what that means. Good to have you, my friend. So tell us a little bit about how long you've been in the business, how many employees you got, how you wandered into janitorial world. What's shaking with you?
So I have always kind of known I was going to be a janitor because I was very privileged to watch two immigrants come to this country, not really know how to speak the language and, you know, enjoy a level of success that you can only find here through cleaning. My mom, when she first moved to this country, she was cleaning homes. She met a gentleman who was cleaning some office buildings as a side job. A couple of years after they got married, they realized that the janitorial, you know, world was something that they could dive into and find some success. And, you know, the rest was kind of history for them. They were able to build this, you know, beautiful company and a beautiful family. And I then went back to work for them, decided I couldn't work for my father, moved to Sacramento, started my own company. And now that they're, you know, getting a little bit up there in age, my sister, Diliana, and I have actually taken the two companies, merged them into one, and that's how we're able to cover this territory with my sister in the Bay Area, me in Sacramento, and everywhere in between, essentially. So I've always kind of known I was going to be a janitor.
That is so cool, man. I love, you know, they always say the first generation makes the money, and the second generation spends it, and the third has to go all over again. I love that you guys are second generation, and you're still working hard and building out what your parents have built. So how long ago did they start the company? And I'm assuming they started with nothing. You said they didn't speak the language, didn't have any money. And what is it built up to now? How many employees do you employ?
So they started about 20 years ago. And really, my stepdad had it for a couple of years before that. He actually started cleaning to pay off child support from his first marriage. But then it turned into a little bit more than that. But so that was about 20 years ago. Now we employ over both of the territories. We employ about 25 people. And we have reduced what we do. We used to kind of be all over the place, but we now service two different markets or two different clients, really. We focus on retail, specifically grocery stores, and those are kind of our night crews. And then during the day, actually, we have recently, over the last 4 years, started to service property management companies and helping them with their turns. And we've been finding a lot of success. So we're at about 25 employees over two different divisions of the company, if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah, and Cleaning Nation, do not miss. I probably have this conversation at least once a week, either on air or off, about the someone new going, I want to do anything. I don't care. If they've got money, I'll do commercial, I'll do residential, property managers, restaurant owners, gym owners, car dealerships, childcare, doctor's offices, dentist offices, warehouses, whatever. You know, I will detail your car if you will hand me cash. And I'm constantly saying you've got to pick a niche. Know who you serve and know them and serve them better than anybody else on the face of the earth can do. And they always nod and smile and go back and take everybody's money. So you can bang your head against the wall for 20 years and then figure it out. Or you could go, you know what? Joe's been doing this a little while. Sounds like they tried the I'm going to be everywhere to everybody, to everything. Growed slow, had slow growth, probably frustrating. And I know nobody that's been in the business longer than 10 years that does everything for everybody. They all have a niche. So you can listen to me, pick up the 10 years quick, or you can go the hard way. I just want to encourage you to learn. We've got people that have been doing this for a while. You know, let's have you guys make different mistakes as opposed to the same mistakes. That said, what's going on in your world, man? How can I help you today?
So our biggest issue, or well, we have many issues, but one of the issues I wanted to focus on with you here today is the issue of quality control. One of the ways that we've been trying to address quality control is by motivating our techs, by paying them more than what we anticipate the job is going to take. So if it's a 6-hour job, we'll pay them 8. We found that this works, but only for a very short amount of time. And once they, you know, grow comfortable within the company, it tends to phase out. We're currently using a dispatching system that allows them to take before and after photos within an app, which has proven to be helpful, but it still hasn't solved our problem. So I'm really curious to know what your thoughts are on quality control, specifically not needing to physically be present to inspect every single job that our techs do.
Okay. So there's a lot packed into that. First of all, it's a great question. Second of all, there's a lot packed into it. Let's unpack it. First and foremost, I have, and we'll talk about, and I'm trying to think if we should talk about the money first or the employees first. Let's talk about the employees first. So no matter, and we'll talk about the pay, but before we get there, what we're not looking for is you pay, I can make $500 a week with you and only $460 a week with him. I'm going to go with you until someone offers me $520 a week and I'm going to go with that. That's not what we're looking for is, you know, just as I feel, I don't say ignorance probably too harsh, but I feel like picking the lowest bidder when you're looking for a commercial contractor is dangerous and oftentimes will end up costing you more. I don't want to compete on price when I'm selling. I also don't want to compete on price when I'm hiring. I like to pay my people 10 to 15% more than they could probably get otherwise in a similar job, but that's not why I want them to be with me, right? They, you got to understand your employees have a choice of dozens, if not hundreds of crappy $10 an hour jobs, or maybe you're in San Francisco, maybe they're $15 an hour jobs, but low wage jobs, including no job at all, going to the government once a month and waiting, probably not even waiting in line, waiting to go into their mailbox and have the government send them a check. So that said, we don't want to compete on money. We want to compete on core values. When we hire the right people that share our core values, and somewhere in there should be, we do our job right. We're people of integrity. If we say we're going to do something, we do it. And we do it well just because that's who we are. We don't like doing things half-assed. We want to hire those people and encourage those traits. I have no quality control system for people that don't believe doing things right is important or treating their employer fair is important or taking good care of their customers is important. If they don't believe that, I have no system that can force them into that mold. I know we're starting philosophical and we'll get tactical, but does that make sense as a foundation to build upon before I go on?
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense.
Okay. So we have to assume we've got employees that have core values that believe that things should be done right, not that they should get done as quick as possible and easily as possible. If we've got that, the answer is to change employees, not make a harsher or better or more robust quality control system. Fair?
Very fair.
Okay, cool. I like the idea, and I've not had enough feedback from other customers or clients or people I work with yet on the before and after pictures. So I'd love to kind of have you keep me and Cleaning Nation in the loop in terms of how that's working. But I like, conceptually, I like it. That said, I always want to do a system. So when you said me physically being there, I don't like that. But I don't know that we're ever going to eliminate somebody being there. So I don't have any, I think that the taking before and after pictures is certainly a good idea and a step in the right direction. And I think so that at one extreme, it could just be technically, and I'm not recommending this, I'm trying to get the whole kind of universe we're playing in. On one extreme is they just take pictures. No one ever goes on site. It's just pick before and after pictures. That's all we do. On the other extreme is you personally, Joe, hold their hand and check every job and hang out. Is it fair to say neither of those is a good solution? We want somewhere in the middle?
No, yeah, those are like the ends of the spectrum, and we want to be somewhere that accomplishes us being somewhere in the middle. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, we want the best return on our time with the least amount of effort, and we're not going to go no effort, which is just send us pictures and we don't care about you. We're not going to go insane where we're going to hold hands and pat heads and, you know, watch you do every job, you know, watch you do your job. So what I recommend, what I coach my commercial folks to do is kind of wean them off. So when they're brand new employees, and first of all, this shouldn't be Joe doing it, this would be a supervisor doing it, depending on the level of your company. If you've got 25 employees, you're right on the cusp of you transitioning out of this. So you're always going to be kind of, I shouldn't say always, but until you get to millions and millions of dollars, you're going to be talking with a customer on a higher level every 2 or 3 months, but not being in the on site. But you should have a trainer, a operations manager, someone that does do that. And how it works is the first 2 to 3, 4 days, maybe they're with them all the time, right? You just do the job. We do it together. You watch me. I hold your hand. Everything's together. Nothing goes wrong. And then they might on day 3 or 4 transition to, okay, I'm gonna drop you off and you're gonna do some things. I'm gonna come back in a couple hours and we're gonna walk through it and see how you did. And then maybe day five, they just drop them off. They just check at the very end, right? They don't check in the middle. And then maybe week two, they'll only check them every other day. And maybe by the end of the month, they're just spot checking them. I like every account to be checked twice a month, give or take, unless it's a once a month account, and then, you know, who cares? It's too small. You should get a better account. So that's how you're going to do it. You're going to start with holding hands and you're there for everything with new employees. And as the employees become more and more sophisticated and independent, you're going to have a system that feels very sporadic to the employees, right? You don't want it to be like, oh, I know they check buildings every other Friday. So we'll make sure every other Friday, everything looks good. You have a system to make sure that every building gets checked on a specific schedule, but it feels random to the employees. So that's how, and I think that before and after picture could help that process. But at some point, there's going to be a second human checking the first human's work and writing a report on what they thought. I never encourage anyone to get out of that. Just get out of doing it daily. And, you know, you might have, you know, anything 5 days a week gets checked at least once a month. Anything 1 to 3 days a week gets checked every 2 months. Anything that's less than that gets checked every quarter. And there's a quick little one sheet written report. So that's kind of how I would systematize that quality control happening. And if you're the owner, and you don't have a supervisor, that would be you, but that should still be something that you're spending less than 10 hours a month on, right? This isn't something that is a part-time job for you. This is 1 to 3 hours a week tops. Did that answer your question?
Got it. It did. And if I'm hearing correctly, the best way to attack this problem is really in the training process to make sure that you're sending people out there that absolutely understand what the quality and the expectation of quality is, so that you don't necessarily need to, so that as they progress, you don't need to check them as often.
Right. And it's actually before that, you hire the right people, you hire the wrong person, there's nothing I can do to help you. You hire the right guy or gal, right. You give them the right tools, then you let them go. And the way to supercharge that is I would require all of my new people within a month to be training somebody else. And then within 3 months, they should be checking somebody else's work. So it doesn't have to be, certainly shouldn't be you, Joe. It can be a supervisor, but feel free to have them check each other, right? Like that's the best way to learn something is I probably become a better business owner in the last 3 years that I've been helping other business owners. I haven't had my own brick and mortar company than I did the last 20 years, right? Teaching it gets you so much better than kind of in the muck. So that's a way to supercharge it, especially if you're kind of in that gray area of I don't have supervisors yet, but I can't be, you know, checking all these employees or checking all these accounts every time. As soon as possible, have employees train other employees as opposed to trainers just have employees training employees and have employees check on each other. Because if I have to check on your work and judge it, that's going to empower me when it's my work to check my own work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love that. That's actually incredibly valuable.
That's why we do this. All right, we do have a couple minutes, so let me hit that money thing because that's a key. I'm a little confused. What I hear you saying is you pay a flat rate per, so it's not hourly. This should be 6 hours at $6 an hour or $10 an hour. That's $60. We're going to pay you $80 flat to do this job. Is that what I hear you saying?
Not quite, although the concept is similar. We pay hourly, but if we say we're walking into a job and we say that this job can be accomplished in 6 hours, we will give them 7 or 8 hours so that they can either, you know, if an issue arises, they have the extra time to be able to respond to the issue. But at the same time, we don't want to penalize somebody for being effective and efficient. So if they finish in six, the 2 hours they get to keep. I don't take it away because they were able to finish it in the six.
So
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that is a flat rate, right? I don't care if it takes you four hours or 10 hours, you're going to get paid $50 or whatever the rate is, right?
Yeah, essentially.
Okay. So I'm not pro or against. I've got feelings. There's some wins and some losses for both hourly and flat. We'll just call it flat rate. And we don't have time to get into that whole conversation, but let's just assume you're on the flat rate train, right? You're saying I'd like to pay people flat, not hourly. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So I'm okay with that piece of it. I'm not okay with the, we're going to pay you 8 hours to do a 6 hour job. What I'd like to say is here's the $50 it takes, or we'll just call it 100, right? Whatever it is. Maybe it's three people. It's whatever, however it is, you got $100. The standard is a standard. So I don't like having to bribe people to do their job right. Right. I want you to do the job right because you said you would, and because you're an honest person that has integrity and you don't like doing stuff half-assed. So those people, I'm willing to give bonuses or show appreciation or awards. So I'm not saying we don't recognize and hold up that behavior as good and make them feel good about it and try and get them to duplicate that. I'm just saying money's not the way I would go about it. So if it's pay them fair, actually pay them more than fair. I'd like to pay, like I said, when I had employees, I'd like them to feel like they're getting anywhere from 10 to 20% more than they could get anywhere else on the open market, but they were going to give 100% more than they'd give at any other job because they love being there. So I'm okay with the wages being a little higher, but I don't like it being the hour. I think I'd like to say this par is 6 hours for this job and make sure that par is par. It's enough, right? Don't say, well, if you do a sloppy job and you rush and nothing ever goes wrong and you never ever need to spend any extra time, you could probably crank it out in 4 hours and 45 minutes. If it takes 6 hours, give them 6 hours. But let's not make up this, you know, well, I'm going to give you seven. Par is par, right? If it takes six, it takes six. That's the right answer. And when we go through how long things are taking in like quarterly reviews and stuff, I go towards par. So I don't give them make a big deal like, oh, you got done faster. If they did, good job. If they're going extra and it's a little extra, but mostly they're on, I'm fine with that. But if it's way over all the time and like, well, I'm doing a really good job. It's like, well, everyone else is doing a good job in 6 hours. You're doing a good job in 6.5 hours. We need to retrain. So I don't like kind of just giving extra money for no reason. The right amount of time is the right amount of time. A good cleaner should be able to do it in that parameter. And for cleaners that are consistently doing the work that they should, doing high quality work in the time that they're supposed to, I'd much rather see you give bonuses or have parties or recognition. So absolutely do good things, but not just throw money at them that seems somewhat random, because all that happens is, and it seems like you're experiencing this 2 or 3 months in, they don't see it as a bonus. They see it as they're entitled. So of course this is just my pay. So now you've lost the, you know, you get some benefit short term, but long term you don't get any benefit, but that money's gone. I'd rather you take that money and give it to them in a bonus, or at the end of the month we do prizes and there's a flat screen TV, or we're going to pull money out of a hat, or you know, something fun that everybody can kind of get involved with. What they get is a bonus that happens every month, not this money that they're entitled to.
That makes sense.
That's the hope. All right. Any other questions, thoughts, rude remarks, comments before we hit the lightning round and I shut up for 2 seconds to give you the chance to share your experience with Cleaning Nation?
No, I think the information has been extremely valuable and definitely I'm excited to implement some of the ideas I got from you today. So
even better, we're recording this. So if you didn't get it all, you can check it out on the website and it'll all be there for you, man. All right, let's hit the lightning round. I'm going to ask 3 quick questions. I have full, and Joe told me beforehand, he's already knows the questions. He's already got his answers written down. So there's a high level of expectations, my friend. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
So the best piece of advice I've ever received is lead by example. Never let an employee feel like you expect them to do a job that you're not willing to do yourself.
Gosh, in the janitorial business, couldn't agree more. We've got to be, you know, we can't be too full of ourselves and be willing to dive in and do what needs to be done. Love that. Question number two, what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business that we can all learn from?
The biggest mistake I've made is thinking that only I can care about the company the way that I do, and that only I can do as good of a job as anyone else. I mean, I literally have families who feed their children with the work that they do for me. So how do I have this idea that only I care about what it is that we do? So that, I think that's been the biggest mistake I've made.
I don't think I've heard that before, and I wish I had, because I like that. I really like that, because people will rise or lower to the expectations you have for them. And if you treat them like I'm the only one that understands how important this work is and I'm the only one that cares, they're going to go, okay, then whatever. We don't care. Right. Whereas if you go, hey, I can trust you. You can train this person. You are going to do a good job. I know who you are as a human being. And I hired you for these very specific reasons. You're good enough. You're strong enough, and doggone it, people like you. For those of you old enough like me to watch that on Saturday Night Live, that's the kind of vibe that you want. So I couldn't agree more that people will rise up to that expectation. If you treat them like I'm the only one that cares, you'll find that you are the only one that cares. And if you treat them like, hey, this is a team, we all care about this team as much as the next guy, you'll find that happening. That is really wise on a lot of different levels, Joe. I love that. Last question.
And it makes it easy to have a conversation, a difficult conversation with your employees, because when I sit down and I have to have that difficult conversation, I always start by saying, this company is much bigger than just me or you. There are people who feed their families with what we do. So you need to understand that the decision that I am making comes from a place of making sure that I'm protecting everybody that's a member of our team. So it makes it very easy to have that conversation.
I had that exact conversation with one of my one-on-one clients today. We were role-playing a conversation he was going to have with a key staff member. And he's like, man, you're really harsh. I thought you're always so loved and nice and every, you know, you're so soft. And I said, I am, as long as everybody's got the best interest of the company at heart. But if I see a customer, a good customer, treating one of my employees disrespectfully, I will attack them like a mama bear. If I see an employee treating the company like their own personal piggy bank, or that what they have going on is more important, if they start treating their own personal good above the good of the whole of the company, the community, I will freak out and come unglued. So I love that I couldn't agree more. You just said it better than I could have. Last question. What's one idea that Cleaning Nation could put into practice? Something easy, doesn't have to be big, just something easily implementable that as soon as the show's over, they go put into practice right away, improve their lives and or their business just a little bit.
This next thing is, I think, easily said and can be easily done. But whenever presented with an issue, take the time after you've solved that issue to think about what the solution is and build a system to resolve that issue going forward, so that when you bring on a new team member, or if the issue ever presents itself again, you're not the only person that people come to for the answer. The answer is already written down, or it's a part of the culture, or it's a rule within the company, so that you're not constantly answering the same question over and over again.
That is probably, that and building a culture is about the highest value work you can do, is creating systems that think through the right decision under this circumstance or that and writing them down so other employees don't have to guess. That's a big one, and sometimes can be easy to do and sometimes not, but always, always, always you'll get a return on your time and money investment in that universe. Joe, thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your ideas, your desire to grow, your vibe. It's been awesome. I appreciate you. I know the Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Joe's show notes page, all the podcasts we do, all the ways we can help you grow your cleaning company, if you're serious about growing your cleaning company, growmycleaningcompany.com. I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.